Good morning. It's good to gather in the Lord's house this beautiful, chilly Sunday morning. Amen? Amen? But it's good to see the sunshine outside, and we look forward to feeling the warmth of the Lord in the place, in our place of worship this day. Thank you for joining us for worship this morning. We hope that you'll be moved by our time of reflection, our time of worship this morning, as we continue to worship during this series and during this Sunday of Lent. This morning we had a great time of prayer that began at 9:20 here in the sanctuary. I had a wonderful hour of Sunday school, and we invite you to join us next Sunday. Same schedule as this past Sunday. And of course, now gathered in the sanctuary for worship. For those that are joining us this morning via Facebook Live, thank you for joining us with your friends and family. I encourage you to use the bulletin, which is on, can be found on our website at www.fbc-elon.org, and use that as a resource this morning for our time of worship and also for our time of ministry. For those that are gathered in our sanctuary this morning, you will see there are many activities, many things going on in the life of our church right now. And I did want to point out this evening, we have lots of opportunities for every age group this afternoon and this evening. That begins at 4 o'clock this afternoon with our adult Bible study, The Last Supper on the Moon. Now, you will notice in your bulletin it says 5 o'clock. Well, that has changed to 4 o'clock, okay? So we're meeting at 4 o'clock in the fellowship hall this afternoon for that time of study. We had a great beginning last Sunday night, and we'll continue this afternoon at 4 o'clock for any adults that want to join me with that study. Then our youth and our children will be meeting at 5. Our youth will be meeting in the youth room, and our children will be meeting in the children's wing. The children will be watching the movie The Lion of Judah, including a pizza dinner, and since the kids were going to have pizza, I said the youth were going to have pizza too. So lots of pizza here, and adults, if you hang around for a few minutes after the adult Bible study, you may get a slice of pizza as well. So I encourage everyone to come out tonight, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock for our time of study, and then our time of worship, celebration this evening. Also, just a reminder that our virtual Lenten Bible study that's been taking place over the last couple weeks will continue again this week. However, the date is not going to be on Tuesday of this week, but it will meet on Thursday of this week at 7 p.m. So for those that have joined me in the past and those who are going to begin joining me for that time of study, this Thursday at 7 p.m. we'll continue the study, Witness at the Cross. And of course, that is on Facebook Live. And if you haven't had a chance to join me for those times of study, you can go to our church's Facebook page at any time and pick up and watch those videos to kind of catch up. Or if you can't make this week's study, shortly after that Bible study takes place, about 5 minutes afterwards, it's automatically placed on our Facebook page, so you can check it out there. But that study will be at Thursday this week at 7 p.m. on Facebook Live. I also want to thank you for your generosity and your donations towards our food pantry during this month, our Missions In Gathering. We have many things that have come in. We've already stockpiled our shelves. We've also have some bags that have come in this week and on today, so we're going to be putting those in the pantry as well to help those individuals that come during these times that are in need of assistance for food. I also want to tell you, I'll talk to you about our April gathering in just a few minutes, but no, I want to say thank you because it is meeting needs in our community. We have many people that contact the church in need of food, in need of gasoline, in need of assistance with their power bills, their water bills, and your generosity is helping to meet the needs in our community at this time. We gather here to worship. We gather here to lift praise to the one, Jesus the Christ, who gave it all in love. Let us sing praise to him this day.
Our first hymn this morning is The Love of God, and about a little over a month ago, this group sang this as a special, so I hope you'll remember it and join us in worshiping together. Let's stand and worship our God.
Thank you.
This morning, our opening scripture passage comes from Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. That is why we've come to worship today, to rejoice in him, but also to confess to him. So let us go to the Lord in prayer today, confessing and rejoicing this morning. Let us pray. Oh Lord, our hearts are blessed as we gather before you today. For you have given us freedom from all our transgressions and joy in exchange for heavy hearts. You are the refuge we seek when we are troubled and the courage we need when we venture into our days. Bless us today with your steadfast love as we declare our trust in you through our worship. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our next hymn, you know very well. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. And then we're going to go into, oh, how he loves you and me. Think about those words, oh, how he loves you and me, as we sing that. Let's stand in this worship.
Oh, how wonderful.
Alamance County is blessed with multiple Christian organizations that seek to make a difference in our community by reaching out to those individuals described in Scripture as the least of these. 2 months ago, we collected non-perishable items for one of these organizations, the Salvation Army, to help stock their shelves as they prepare and provide food to hundreds of families across Alamance County. For the month of April, we turn our attention to another one of these organizations that we partner with, Allied Churches of Alamance County. Allied Churches provides multiple resources for the least of these. And I thought I'd share a few of those things, because oftentimes we think of Allied Churches, we think of the homeless shelter. But that's just one of the many things that they provide. They also provide a diner to serve lunch during the weekdays. They also have Joe's Diner that serves meals to the homeless during the evenings, the residents that stay there. We have many teams within our church that helps with Joe's Diner. So if you would like to be a part of one of those teams, talk to Gay or myself, or talk to Kramer Hughes, who heads up those teams as well. Allied Churches also trains individuals as they seek to find employment, providing education and equipping them. They provide clothes to individuals when they go for these job interviews. And the list goes on and on. Over the last couple weeks, we were made of some specific needs that Allied Churches has at this time. So for the month of April, we wanted to collect some of these specific items. You'll notice they're at the bottom of your bulletin today. They're also found in your April newsletter. Some of the items they need are barbecue sauce, mayonnaise, salad dressing. This helps with their lunches during the week. Also helps with Joe's Diner in the evening. Also, they need cleaning products like Lysol and spray cleaners. They need paper products like Kleenex and paper towels. They also need full-size toothpaste for their homeless residents. So if you have the opportunity and you find it in your heart to support Allied Churches during the month of April, we encourage you to pick up a few of these items. You can drop them off in the basket at the end of the hallway during the month of April, and we'll make sure we distribute them over to Allied Churches so they can provide them for the residents and meet those needs. If we're made aware of additional needs during the month of April, we'll let you know of those as well. Please be in prayer for their ministry in Alamance County, and be in prayer for how you can assist Allied Churches in the coming weeks and months. Now, at this time, I'll call on Susan Harrington, our deacon, for our offertory prayer this morning.
May we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for this beautiful spring morning. Thank you for all your many blessings. Thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus Christ, who overcame death and opened the door to us for everlasting life. Please bless these offerings that we bring today. We ask that you bless the giver and the receiver, and may these gifts further your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Gay, and thank you, Bert, for our special music this morning. As we prepare to encounter God's word this day, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning in a time of confession. We'll begin with just some moments of silence, and then I'll close us in just a moment. Let us pray this morning. Father, we thank you for the privilege that it is to come to you in prayer. And Father, we humbly come before you this hour of worship, confessing the sins of commission and omission in our lives. The words we speak all too often do not show you in our lives. We spend so much time boasting of ourselves that others can't even imagine that we even need you. Sometimes we grumble impatiently when you don't respond immediately when we come to you with our requests, but are slow to sing your praises when you do. We mutter under our breaths about the behavior of those around us when we could just as easily and should be asking them if there is some way that we could serve them. It is on our journey to the cross and the tomb that you fill us with the riches of your mercy and sacrificial love. You do this, and you do so not because of anything that we have done or that we deserve it, but because of the compassion which flows from your heart, wounded by our failings. As we open our lives to receive your forgiveness this day, may we turn to the light which brings us life, following Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, every step of the way. We pray this morning as your humble servants. Father, forgive us. Amen. Again, let me say good morning. Thank you for joining us for worship here at First Baptist Elon, and thank you for joining us during this fourth Sunday during the season of Lent as we look at this morning the cross of salvation or sacrificial love this morning. Now, if you remember when we started this series just a couple weeks ago, that our goal was to come to know Christ and experience the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering in a new way during the season of Lent. Now, the focal verses reflect this, and this is Philippians 3, 10 and 11. I want to know Christ and experience the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. That's our goal. That's our goal during this season of Lent as we bear the crosses that Jesus bore. I came across a quote this week from an article that was printed in Christianity Today in 2008. And the quote comes from Arthur Burns. He is a Jewish economist who had great influence in Washington, D.C. during the tenure of many presidents. He's now retired now. But he echoed this desire in a prayer that he offered at a gathering of evangelical politicians. And these are the words of his prayer. Lord, I pray that Jews would come to know Jesus Christ. And I pray that Buddhists would come to know Jesus Christ. And I pray that Muslims would come to know Christ. And Lord, I pray that Christians
would come to know Jesus Christ too. What powerful words. Because that is our goal. We all need to come to know Christ more intimately than we do. Amen? And this is the reason for our series, Crosses of Christ. Now, as we look at the cross of salvation or sacrificial love this morning, I want to share a story with you, and I guarantee probably half of you have heard it before, but that's okay, because it sets the tone for the sermon today. The placard or sign was stapled to the telephone pole, and it read, "Lost Dog." There was a description of the dog that followed and promised a substantial reward to anybody or whoever found and returned the dog to the owner. It said, "The dog has only three legs. He's blind in his left eye. He's missing his right ear. His tail is a little crooked. He is almost deaf. And he answers to the name Lucky." Obviously, the only thing that makes that old dog lucky is the fact that the owner loved him so much that he wanted him back. I guess that's the essence of our understanding of salvation. It is a good thing for us that God loves us and he wants us back. As we think about that simple fact this morning, I want to unpack a series of truths that we need to understand about our complete, sometimes I think, misgiving about salvation. The fact that God loves us so much that he wants us back. So this morning, let's look at the principles of the cross of salvation or sacrificial love. Now, if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. Now, as you turn, you're probably going to say immediately, "Hey, I know one of those verses in that passage." It is one of the most well-known verses in all of Scripture, John 3:16. It's one of those verses that we grew up on. Our parents probably taught us when we were young children, or our grandparents taught us. It's one of those we could repeat forwards and backwards. We probably had to do it for GAs or RAs or Mission Friends or whatever organization you were a part of. However, sometimes we forget that the context of this verse came in a powerful discourse in which Jesus was meeting with a man in the cover of night who was trying to figure out and find out who exactly was this man Jesus. He came searching. He came seeking. And the man's name was Nicodemus. He was a Pharisee. He was a member of the Jewish ruling council. And the only way that he could get straight answers and not be punished by all his comrades was by coming to Jesus at night. And this is the response that Jesus gave him about who he was and what he had come to do. John chapter 3, verses 14 through 21 this morning. "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. Think about the setting in which Jesus was speaking those words, talking about light and darkness in the middle of the night to a man who came during the nighttime to find out who Jesus is. And then what did Jesus answer? He gave him the keys and principles of salvation. The first principle that we must understand about the existence of salvation in this world is that salvation only originates in God. Now you might be thinking, well, David, that's simple. I've known that. But do we really get it? To understand salvation, we must understand cause and effect theory. Now, I told our Bible study group this past week that I did not excel in science, and cause and effect is a science thing, and so I'm going to try to muddle my way through it for a second. But let me explain it in this way. This past winter, one of the first ice storms that we had here in Alamance County holed up many people. Many people didn't even come out during it. Well, there were a few that ventured out onto the dangerous roads during that time. I was one of them. One afternoon, I needed to come to church to pick up some books that I had left that I needed for the online Bible study that I ran from home. So as I was driving over University Drive, the bridge that crosses over Haggard Avenue, just clearing that bridge, I hit a patch of black ice. We've all been there, right? We hit that black ice and we're not in control. Well, fortunately, I had slowed down. I was being that safe driver in the winter time. I hit it. I lost control just for a couple seconds, but I quickly gained control of the car and I kept going. However, I did notice that there were two vehicles on the side of the road that had hit that same patch of black ice, that they did not have the same fate as I did. The first car had gone careening off the side and was sitting over there cockeyed on the side of the road. The other car, I can only guess, hit the same patch, came up shortly after it, and had rear-ended that other car, all because of the black ice. Well, if you think about it, that's cause and effect. Had there not been black ice on University Drive that day, there most likely would not have been an accident, right? The black ice was the cause of the effect of that accident. And if we want to take it even further, we can say that the cold weather caused the water that fell to create that black ice that led to the cars who were driving too fast to careen off the road to cause the accident. Now, this is cause and effect theory. Some scientists call cause and effect theory the butterfly effect. Has anybody ever heard of the butterfly effect? This is the belief that a hurricane that occurs in the Gulf of Mexico or over wherever it occurs all begins with a butterfly flapping its wings thousands of miles somewhere else. Now, that's the cause and effect theory to the extreme, but it does speak to cause and effect. So what does this have to do with salvation? What does this have to do with the cross of salvation? You see, the argument for causality is essential to our biblical understanding of creation and salvation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The argument holds that God is the original cause of all cause and effects. He is the original cause of everything. In the same way, our text teaches us that Christian salvation also originates with God. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came in just at the right time and died for us sinners. He showed us love for us by sending Jesus to die for us. We didn't do anything about it. We didn't do anything to earn it because we don't deserve it. God is the cause of salvation. William Barclay reminds us that our understanding of salvation is of God acting in the world, not for his own sake, but for ours. In other words, we brought nothing to the table. We were helpless. We were bankrupt. We did not have a leg to stand on. We're like that three-legged dog. We don't have anything that we can do. Yet God showed his great love for us by sending Jesus. Salvation originates with God. But let's take it a step further. The second principle about the cross of salvation is that it is so vast in scope. It's not like a little patch of black ice. It's for the entire world. Grab your bulletins for a second and flip it over to the words on the back. Some of you may not even realize the words were on the back of the thing. Everybody looks at the screen and sings it from there. Well, guess what? Your words on the back too. Turn to that third verse of God of Love and look at the words. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. You may simplify that, because I am no poet. The love of God is vast and immeasurable. But for you mathematical minds out there, let me give you a few digits to get your mind rolling. In Ephesians chapter 3, in describing God's sacrificial love, Paul uses expansive terms, dimensional terms, to describe his love. How wide, how long, how deep his love really is. If we think about it, the earth, the world in which we walk on, is a vast place. The earth is a vast chunk of real estate. It is not a small, small world like the Disney World ride says. If we were to stretch a string around the earth, it would be 24,901.24 miles long. That's for you mathematicians there. But I'm not done. If you dug a hole straight through the earth, that hole would be 7,917 and a half miles deep. The surface of the entire earth is over 57 and a half million square miles. That's a big space. Earth is massive, with vast spaces of land and water. Now, it is true that God loves the earth that he created, and it is true that it says in Romans 8 that all of creation, including the earth in which we walk on, anticipates the day when we will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. To say that God loves the world, this earth, is a simple truth. God loves the world, but he loves you more. Did you get that? He loves this world, but he loves you more. Because if he didn't, guess what he'd do with us? He'd wipe the floor with us and start all over again. The people on earth are vast as well. An article published by the Population Reference Bureau that was updated in 2011, so these numbers are dated, asked the question, how many people have ever lived on Earth? Now, one might think, well, that's just simple. We can figure that out. That's no problem. Well, not so fast. I'm decent at math, better at math than science, but statisticians have tried to formulate how many people have actually lived on this earth. So after estimates and guesstimates, they come up with this number. And as I say this number, guess what? The number changed because somebody's being born as I speak right now. The number is 107,602,707,791 people have walked this earth since its beginning. They also believe that at any point in time in history, as we speak right now, specifically now, that 6.5% of the entire population that have ever walked this earth is living today, which is nearly 7 billion people. Now, I didn't live back in the 70s. I was born in the 70s. But there was a belief back in the 70s, and some of you remember the 70s. There was a belief in the 70s that there was a belief that 75% of the people at any time lived in the 70s. They all lived in the 70s. And I thought to myself, boy, they partied a little too much in the 70s to be able to think that way. But the very fact is this. The possibility that these numbers are highly speculative, we don't really know, do not diminish the fact that God's love is without limit. It's without limit. God's love is vast beyond our expanse and our imagination. How wide, how high, how long, how deep does God's love run for us? 107,602,707,791 people and counting, wide, long, high, and deep. That's how great God's love is for us. It's so great that we'll never understand it. Never fully. The third principle about the cross of salvation is that while the cause is the love of God, and it's so vast and expansive, the effect that it has on us is our being able to experience God's love in a way that we can't even begin to imagine and understand, but simply through forgiveness and eternal life. In the 43rd sonnet from the Sonnets of the Portuguese, by poet Elizabeth Barrett Browning, Browning wrote a love poem to her husband, Robert. They had eloped, they were deeply in love, and this was the poem that she wrote at that time of wedding. And you're probably familiar with the first line. How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. I love thee to the depth and breadth and height my soul can reach when feeling out of sight. For the ends of being an ideal grace, I love thee to the level of every day's most quiet need by sun and candlelight. I love thee freely as men strive for right. I love thee purely as they turn from praise. I love thee with the passion put to use in my old griefs and with my childhood's faith. I love thee with a love I seem to lose with my lost saints. I love thee with the breath, smiles, tears of all my love. And if God choose, I shall love thee better after death. Now you understand why Jennifer loves me so much. I'm such an eloquent poem reader. But in this beautiful poem, Browning not only expresses her feelings of love, but also what her love does. When Jesus spoke of his love, he commanded his disciples to love each other in the same way that I have loved you. How has he loved you? By sacrificial love. The greatest love is shown when people lay down their lives for their friends. And so it is that we enter into the suffering of Christ. And so it is for that reason that we can bear that same cross that Christ bore. We can live sacrificially for others. Because love not only feels, it does. Love acts. Author and priest Brennan Manning, he's the author of the Ragamuffin Gospel. Some of you have probably read the Ragamuffin Gospel. If you haven't, I encourage you to do so. He also wrote Ruthless Truth, among other writings. He shared the story of growing up with his best friend by name. His friend's name was Ray Brennan. They did everything together. They bought cars together as teenagers. They double dated together. They rode to school together to save gasoline in each other's car. They enlisted in the army together out of high school. They went to boot camp together. And ultimately, they went to the front lines together during World War II. One night, Brennan was reminiscing about the good old days back in Brooklyn with Ray, who was just sitting there, and Ray was eating a chocolate bar sitting there in the foxhole. Suddenly, a live grenade got thrown into the bunker that they were sitting in. Ray smiled, dropped his chocolate bar, and jumped on top of the grenade and was killed. But he saved his friend. Brennan Manning became a priest sometime later. And when he became a saint, he was instructed to take a name of a saint. So he took the name of his friend, Ray Brennan. That's how he gets his first name, Brennan. Years later, Brennan Manning went to visit Ray's mother in Brooklyn. And in the course of their conversation, Brennan asked his mother, "Do you think Ray loved me?" Miss Brennan got off her couch, shook her finger in his face, and shouted at him, "What more could he have done for you?" Brennan Manning said at that moment, he had a double epiphany. Not only did he know that Ray loved him, he grasped the extent of God's love for him. How much more can a person love another person than by dying for that person? And should we ask the same question of Jesus Christ? If we asked him the same question, what would his answer be? How much more could I have done for you? When his friend Ray died for him, he was given the gift of life. When Jesus Christ died for us, he was given the gifts of forgiveness and eternal life. The experience of salvation is the receiving of the love act on everyone's behalf. A love that laid down his life so that we may receive forgiveness of sin and eternal life. Now, at this point, you might be saying, this makes sense. I understand salvation maybe in a little bit deeper way than I ever have. But if you read that passage in John, Jesus said there's one exception. There's one exception to that salvation and the sacrificial act of love that he showed. You see, the final truth about the cross of salvation or sacrificial love is that that one exception is this. We have the choice to reject his love entirely. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save it. There is no judgment awaiting those who trust him, but those who do not trust him have already been judged for not receiving the only Son of God. A philosopher, a scientist, and a simple man, none of which could swim, were trapped in a cove surrounded by a sheer cliff as the tide was coming in. Rescuers lowered a rope with a safety harness down to save the three. The philosopher saw the rope and said, "Ah, this looks like a rope. But I may be mistaken. It may, in fact, be an illusion." He failed to grab the rope and he drowned. The scientist said, "Ah, this looks like 11 millimeter polyester rope with a breaking strain of 2,800 kilograms. He continued with an extensive analysis of the rope's physical and chemical properties, but did not attach himself to the rope, and he too drowned. The simple man said, "I don't know what it is, but it is my only chance, so I'm grabbing a hold of it and holding on for dear life." And he was saved. All three men found themselves in the same predicament. They were all going to drown if they were not rescued. Rescue was available to each man, but two of the men overthought it and perished. But the third man simply grabbed hold and held on for dear life. There's one huge exception to the offer of rescue and salvation for everyone, and that is simply grabbing the rope God extends to every person or not. Everyone who believes Christ came and died for them accepts him, and they will receive eternal life. They grab hold of the rope. The person who does not is the exception. You see, the rope is there for everyone through the cross of salvation. Sometimes we're the ones offering the rope. Sometimes, all the time, we're the one who needs it. So what is your challenge this day? Are you ready to grab it? Or are you ready to offer it? That is the cross of salvation. That is the cross of sacrificial love. Let us pray. Father, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, we know the words. We know the words. They're ingrained in our hearts and our minds. We know the words. But that simple concept of salvation, sometimes we don't understand the scope and the power of that gift. And Father, sometimes we don't realize that we're called to carry that same act of sacrificial love to everyone. Thank you for the challenge this day, wherever we stand. Offering the rope or needing to grab the rope. Amen. As we come to our time of closing this morning, as we sing our closing hymn, I don't know where you stand in that cove today. Maybe you've grabbed the rope, maybe you've been rescued by it already, and maybe you have accepted that salvation, or maybe you haven't. Maybe today, for the first time, you understand what that salvation act means in a new and a fresh way. If that's where you stand today, come down and talk with me. Let me talk to you what it means about accepting him and following his path. Or maybe today you realize that maybe you haven't been showing that sacrificial love like Christ wants us to do. The altar's always open. It's his altar. Come to him. Give it to him. Whatever decision you need to make today, don't put it off. Let's stand and sing praise to him for the love he showed us. Today, take that sacrifice that Christ made for us and show it and share it with others. That's our call during the season of Lent. And I hope to see you tonight, 4:00 adults,
5 o'clock for our children and youth. Go in peace this morning.